and everybody adored him. They loved Paul. He lost the voice and all that charm of youth. What should we say now? Is it pity? Is it sad? No, it's normal. He lost what he was given. He didn't have it before, right? He had a fantastic voice, one. This is a God-given gift. He enjoyed it, but not properly. So when he's old, none of those attractions is good, because all of them are temporary and depending on what you do, not what you are. So he has no more invitation. He lost his job and everything. Then he went to the graveyard. Why? We talked about it, because this is what it is. Thinking about death, approaching it and all that, means solitude, because only place that you're almost sure that you will be alone, even lonely, even at the time that there are a couple of groups in there is graveyard. When you go into the graveyard, you feel lonely somehow, because the people who are attending in graveyard, they're not there for talking to you, or they don't even notice you. They're very, very busy with the dead guy they're here for. That's what the graveyard is: quietness, solitude, the place of meditation. When he arrived over there, he started to do something he had never done, to play the music for half. Then Rumi stopped, because this was critical. He talked about some other things. Then he came back to it. He went to a hadith. In that hadith, he repeated the thing that when you are listening to the word of Hal, you should always remember that these words are not the real one. That Hal could not be explained in these words. These words they have a lot of shortcomings to be laid out. It's not only the wording. There's something behind it. And you should see that one. If you look at the saying of the saints and the holy books and things like that, it will look very simple to you. And you may get it literally. And that's wrong, because over there when they talk about, for example, they talk about the spring and the autumn, because they want to teach you something about your ego and your faith. But they put it that way. You should be clever. We are talking like that. This is the middle of the story, like that. So when I'm talking about the music player, maybe Rayhan doesn't like music by nature. He doesn't get the rhythm and doesn't like the music. He or she cannot dismiss it and say, okay, this story is about music. This is not about music. This is about you, God, how you behave. Read it differently. And remember, we are talking about you as a piece of whole. You're not only you to me. You're a human being. You are a piece of this. And we know there is nafs, or personal ego, there is this general ego, there is nafs, called. And we could talk a lot about this. The most important thing for you as a beginner is to learn how to behave when you're listening to these words. You said, these words sometimes hurt. Sometimes it talks about your shortcoming and you don't like it really. Sometimes it talks about the potentiality in you and you love it. Don't do that. These are all teaching material to you. Listen to these sayings, no matter how they look like. If they look very harsh or they look very soft, both are like medicine to you. Act as a grown-up and do not avoid that medicine because it tastes awful, and go for chocolate instead. If they talk to you warm or cold, listen, because they save you from being hot or frozen. Then we talked about something else. He said, let me tell you something very bizarre about this universe. In this universe, when we talk about the water, what do you think about when we say water? Of course, it's symbolic, you say knowledge. Okay, what knowledge? Well, there is a lot of knowledges. Where are the knowledges? For you, this water is in some containers. If you seek the knowledge, normally the first thing is library. The library is full of knowledge, so you could imagine library as a swimming pool full of water, drinking water. It's like that, right? So the knowledge to you is the existing water. Guess what? We believe differently. When you look at the water, looking at that pool of water, what do you think? Oh, this is good water. Nice. Where is it? Where is it from? Where did it come from, the water of knowledge? To us, it's rain coming from sky. But that kind of rain is not visible to you, because you have the logical filters in front of your eyes. There is this rain. Imagine, you, first of all, who are you? A bag of water. You are more than 95% water. Imagine you not seeing the rain, just observing the creeks, rivers, and ponds. Could you have a clear idea about what water really is? You should know water is coming from the sky. It's the rain, because it's coming plenty. The knowledge is coming plenty to this earth. But you won't see it. There is one condition you could see it. What was that? What could you do to see the water of knowledge, the knowledge which is coming like a rain to us from above?
To go under the cloak of the Master.
To put your head under the cloak of the Messiah in you, the Prophet in you. Means your logic should bow and go under the cover of the Spirit, then suddenly you will see it, because the gracious creator of this universe is filling it up with knowledge. Of course, this knowledge, I don't mean mathematics and geometry. This is super knowledge. This knowledge of kindness, passion, compassion. Where the compassion is coming from? From our advanced technology? From our scientific advancement and these bizarre formula we write down? Where is it coming from? From the sky. It's raining upon us. If you just could open your eyes. This is in the middle of the story of the harbor. Because this harbor has never noticed the kindness to him, did he? Did he ever thought, why do I have this kind of good voice?